Anyway, first of all, I want to thank Newcastle Palestinian Solidarity Campaign and the Stop the War in Newcastle for inviting me to speak. I'm here in my capacity as a Jewish communist and a member of Jews for Justice for Palestinians, and that's a group of British Jews, an ever-growing group, both religious and non-religious, from all backgrounds, who support the struggle of the Palestinians against the Israeli state. It has links to similar organisations throughout the world and actively promotes the BDS movement. I'm an atheist. I'm just going to give you a little background of my history. But I've always had great pride in my background and the culture and proud history of the Jewish people. I originally came from London's East End, which had a huge working class immigrant Jewish population. Most of my family, like most of the local population, took up progressive ideas of socialism and communism when they came from, like my family, mostly from Eastern Europe. When they came, driven out by the pogroms and anti-people attacks by the Russian Tsarists and other governments in the late 1800s and the early 20th century, there were very few supporters of Zionism, few that wanted to live in Palestine. And the humanitarian values of Judaism was to defend the rights of all, whatever their religion or nationality. The local Jewish population played a huge part, along with communists and other progressive people, in the struggle against Mosley and his Nazi black shirts in the East End. Everyone of that generation spoke of their participation in the Battle of Cable Street, whether they were there or not. We've come across many people that say they were there or not. It's just the thing to, place to have been. Kids like my dad, who was there, prided themselves for throwing marbles under police horses that were used to defend the fascists. And as well, many East End Jewish young men went off to fight in the International Brigade in the Spanish Civil War. Although the horrors of the Holocaust were used to stir up pro-Israeli feelings, in my youth, there was still not a large Zionist section amongst Jewish youth. In the late 1960s and 70s, large numbers of Jewish youth took part in the many struggles in the East End and other places to oppose the new Nazis, the National Front, and the attacks and murders that were being carried out against all minorities, communities such as the Sikhs, Muslims and West Indians. And we worked together to defend the rights of all. Many in their teens did go to visit kibbutzes in Israel, but I went as well. And many, like myself, also saw the Palestinian refugee camps and saw the nature of the Israeli state for themselves. And it was a big wake-up call for many of us. The Zionist ideology was beginning to be peddled then amongst Jewish youth to try and get the youth taking up this fight to defend the rights of all. And as many can see, the humanitarian values of Judaism has been corrupted by the Israeli state's abuse of human rights. In Israel itself, a small but growing number of people, particularly youth, are opposing the action of the Zionist state. The only place I have ever experienced anti-Semitism is early in my life from the state and from the fascists. Having taken part in many anti-war and anti-Islamophobia rallies and demos, particularly here in Newcastle, I've only ever been greeted with warmth by all people taking part, no matter what their beliefs or religion. Just as the ruling class represent the rich, deliberately try and conflate Muslims with terrorism as another side of the same coin, they also try and conflate Judaism with Zionism. In the latest round of attempting to sow confusions and divisions, they have tried to take statements against Zionist politics and label them anti-Semitic. They've used this method to attack Jeremy Corbyn's supporters in the Labour Party in an attempt to split it to try and curb the growing support and disrupt the local elections. They have used the same method to attack the newly elected NUS president, Malia Butita. I'm not very good at pronouncing that, I'm afraid. She's the first black woman and the first Muslim to be elected into this post, and they've tried to associate her with anti-Semitism. Writing in The Guardian, Malia stated, "I want to be clear again for me that to take issue with Zionist politics is in no way me taking issue with being Jewish. In fact, Zionist politics are held by people from a variety of different backgrounds and faith. For me, it has been and will always be a political argument, not one of faith or ethnic identity. Zionism, religion and ethnicity must not be seen as one and the same. To be clear that this has not happened in isolation, Malia's election has taken place in an atmosphere where students are restless and angry and not in a vacuum," as she pointed out. In a letter to The Independent by mainly Jewish signatories supporting her, explaining the false equation that says Jewish equals Zionist, comes not from the Palestinian solidarity movement, but from Israeli supporters. A group of former Jewish students and US representatives wrote a letter to the Jewish Chronicle saying they are horrified as the Islamophobic campaign being waged against her amidst opportunist and false charges of anti-Semitism. Over 90 Jewish members of the Labour Party wrote to newspapers in a letter condemning the attempts to smear Corbyn's supporters with anti-Semitism, and the Jewish Socialist Group published their response condemning the attacks on Malia and Corbyn's supporters. These accusations of anti-Semitism also come in the wake of similar allegations against the Oxford University Labour Club, who earlier came under attack after voting to support Israel Apartheid Week. These accusations of anti-Semitism have been put forward by the Blairites, the government and the mainstream media. That Zionism is a political ideology is clearly illustrated by Blair himself taking up and promoting Zionist ideology. This political ideology has always been contested with Jewish life since it first emerged in the 1890s. The ideology emerged to stop the coherence of the Jewish community, to interfere with the huge support amongst the Jewish community for progressive ideas, and to stop them uniting struggles with all working people. Norman Finkelstein, the well-known American Jewish scholar, most of whose family perished in the Holocaust, was the person who first posted the map that Nashar was suspended over. He posted it as a satirical dig at the American Zionist lobby. He points out in a recent interview the historical accuracy that Hitler was not opposed to the Zionist project originally, as he saw it as a way of solving the so-called Jewish question. And this suited the Zionists in encouraging Europeans to get out and emigrate to Palestine. He points out that a book by a scholar called Lenny Brenner was published in 1983. It was called Zionism in the Age of Dictators, and this documented the perfidious Nazi Zionist collaboration. It actually garnered very favourable reviews in the British press, particularly in The Times, which has been particularly vehement in attacking Livingstone. These anti-Semitic smears also come at a time when the government is further attacking the BDS movement by making it illegal for councils to take part in BDS, which in itself illustrates the obvious growing success of this movement. Last week, Palestinians everywhere commemorated Nakba Day. For the first time, the March of Return took place in the Negev, in the Nakba. This is the site of one of more than 400 Palestinian villages destroyed by Zionist paramilitaries and Israeli forces, destroying and depopulating and committing massacres in at least 24. They dispossessed more than 750,000 Palestinians, and today there are more than 7 million Palestinian refugees globally. The annual March of Return is organised by the Association for the Defence of the Rights of Internally Displaced Palestinians, and this year they fear further demolitions and displacements in that very area. The annual march is held to highlight the Palestinians' right to return. This is enshrined in UN Resolution 194 and has gained growing support, particularly amongst the youth. The Zionist Israeli government deny Palestinians this right to return. Their Nazi logic would allow me, as an atheist with Jewish ancestry, to live unquestioned in Israel, whilst as people born there or the generation removed are not allowed to return to their homeland. These attacks on anyone that dares to speak out about the atrocities committed by the Zionists are part of the same logic. These smears generate an atmosphere of hysteria, a generalised campaign to discredit and sow division amongst the progressive forces and movements that have been gathering momentum and making various breakthroughs as the established neoliberal consensus has gone into crisis. The big lie technique is in operation to create an impression that there is a problem of anti-Semitism on the left, and that the left are sympathetic to extremism and terrorism. The aim is to shore up the neoliberalism as representing the reasonable centre in politics by raising the spectre of the extremes, though creating a picture of the hard left and equating it with the hard right. This is to cover the reality that this so-called centre is itself in essence of the extreme right, which everything is put in the service of the most powerful monopolies. The burden of the economic crisis is shifted onto the working population through austerity measures, and rights are not recognised. People are denied a say in the most important matters that affect their lives, such as direction of the economy, while political problems are made problems of law and order. Police are given further powers to act with impunity under the spurious theory of balancing rights against the rights of all, as opposed to the modern conception that security lies in the defence of the rights of all. Legislation is passed that violates the right to conscience and attempts to establish an official set of so-called British values around the notion that all should line up behind the national chauvinist aims, aims which are increasingly pursued through intervention and war. Malia's election has taken place, as she said, where people are taking up this struggle. People of all religions must oppose these attacks by getting organised to defend the rights of all.
Thank you. That was incredibly thorough and comprehensive, Maddie. Okay, the next speaker is Nick Bowman, who is a